Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Praise the Lord. You have tuned into Words from the Word, Blog Talk Radio of LFC, Voices of Global Ministry. We are taking over the airwaves and declaring and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. We're excited this morning to share the revelation of God's word and our heart daily with you on Blog Talk Radio. And you can tune in your commute to work, lunch break, over coffee with tea at home, even in the middle of the night to get some of the archived messages from the team of LFC specialists that are waiting to serve you and share with you Bible teaching and training that will empower, enrich, and strengthen your walk with God and His kingdom. We are just so excited about you with us this morning. We are in our sixth prayer watch, and so we want to start off the program this morning acknowledging day 17 of our prayer consecration based on the eight prayer watches, and we are currently in the sixth prayer watch, which is from 9 a.m. To 12 noon. This sixth prayer watch is the exit and entrance prayer watch. And this month, we are in the month of the Hebrew month of Tevet, which means the month of vision and the power to walk, meaning to move and accelerate in our service to God. It is the same reason that God covenanted himself with the children of Israel, and he gave them his commandments on Mount Sinai as witnesses by blowing the shofar and by fire. And so we want fire of the Holy Ghost, as we read in the book of Acts, to fall fresh on us today and every day, renewing us in a joy and celebratory state with God. God celebrates. Heaven is celebrating. Today and every day, heaven celebrates. Even though the world is filled with reasons to be downcast, but deeper than sorrow drums the unbroken pulse of God's joy, a joy that will yet have its eternal days. To set our hearts on this joy reminds us that we can choose how we respond to any particular moment. We can search for God in all circumstances or not. It's our choice. We can seek the pulse of hope and celebration because it is God's reality for us. Heaven is celebrating. Right now, the cherubims and seraphims, the angels and archangels, the prophets, the martyrs, all of the company of saints overflow with joy in the presence of the Creator. Every small experience of God with us is a taste of the joy that is to come. Paul and Silas, even in jail, they had reason to sing. And Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, wrote this, the scripture we will start our day with today. My soul is downcast within me, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Hallelujah. We thank God that every morning, his morning, we pray he sends word of his unfailing love to us because we trust in him. Praise the Lord. So we will go into our prayer watch consecration scripture, and then we will have prayer by Evangelist Roberta. Good morning, Evangelist.
Good morning. Good morning. Our prayer watch scripture today is coming from Acts 2, verses 40 through 47.
Amen.
And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized that day. About 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved.
Amen. Amen. A reason for celebration. Hallelujah. Yes. And our prayer focus?
And our prayer focus today is verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And this is a time to pray for the harvest of souls, pray for souls coming into the kingdom, pray for the church to be kingdom-minded and kingdom-focused, pray for a renewed unity in the Holy Spirit on the body of Christ, and a mantle of evangelism to speak forth the good news to Zion in power.
Amen.
Amen. So, Father, we thank you for this day, Father God. We thank you for the word from the word, Father God. We thank you for Overseer Paulette, Father God. We thank you for all the listeners who are listening on this morning. And we pray, Father God, for a fruitful day on today, Father God, a fruitful program, Father God. We pray, Father God, that you continue to open up our understanding and revelation of your word. Father, we pray for all the souls that's coming into the kingdom, Father God, and that your people will love on them, Father God, and expound your word, Father God, the truth of your word unto them, Father, and that word will begin to manifest in their lives, Father God. We pray, Father God, even now, Father, that you renew the unity in the body, Father God, the unity in the Holy Spirit, Father God. We pray, Father God, that evangelism began to speak forth the good news to Zion in the power of your Holy Spirit, Father God. We just thank you and praise you for this day, a new day of grace, a new day of mercy. We thank you for your graciousness and your loving kindness toward each of us, Father God. And we give you honor, we give you glory, and we give you all the praise that's due unto you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Evangelist. We have continue our look, the Acts of the Apostle, in the first church growth in the book of Acts. And we're looking at it, focusing on some of the elements of spiritual disciplines that we are taking from the Spiritual Discipline Handbook by Adele Calhoun. This week, we're focusing on hospitality and small groups. And as we observe our prayer focus and the renewed zeal of the body of Christ to come together in unity in going forth with the good news and the gospel, a very essential element in that is going to include hospitality. Hospitality, as we saw all throughout Acts and for all of the apostles as they journeyed in their travels to deliver the message and the good news, they depended on the hospitality of those within the city that they were coming to for many things, not the least thing being a place of safety, a shelter, and then a place to gather, to feel and to enjoy the presence of Jesus as they remember and as they share his message with one another, their experiences. And that was part of the strength that gave the apostles a joy as they journeyed and were persecuted. They endured so much persecution, as we read in the last chapters of the book of Acts for Paul. It was one adversity after another. I mean, it was never hardly a time where there was just peace, as they say, in the camp. There was always stirring of anger amongst those that were in the religious world, who were angered by the power and the transformation the gospel was making in the areas that they were. We had so many individuals that actually were vendors and businessmen who became very angry with the apostles because the message they gave transformed the people, and so their businesses were suffering. And it's just, I just thought it was such a wonderful presentation of how the mountain of business and the mountain of entertainment, the mountain of education, the mountain of religion, the mountain of family was being taken over by the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we are about in this season, in this century, just as they were in the first century. And we can have just as powerful an impact when we start exercising and using these elements of spiritual discipline, because it's those things that drew the people. It was those things that provided the atmosphere so that the gospel was not just heard, but it was seen and it was felt, it was experienced. And its power was witnessed, and people became very impressed, if you will, very taken, very convicted even by the gospel, excuse me, which is what it is intended to do. And that's what transforms us. And so as the apostles went forth and as they, you know, they were on boats and they were on foot and they were traveling and they were in a lot of places hiding, and then in other places, which is the second discipline that we are looking at, they were in small groups. They went to the synagogue. They didn't have a problem going to the synagogue, but they also went together from house to house. And this provided a safe environment for rest and for revival and for renewal as they were on their journey with the Great Commission. And so hospitality was a major element in supporting the spread of the gospel. So often in the ministry of health, in hospitality, we don't think of ourselves as being that important in the structure, if you will, of the church, and yet it was the foundation of the early church was hospitality, this giving of themselves, as we read in our prayer focus today, putting everything together, and it was available for everybody, and whatever it was that they needed, they were able to have to sustain their journey. And so often we are hindered in our ministries because of resources and because of support. And when that's missing, it does damage to the power of our testimony, because there are so many things that we are concerned with that we don't give ourselves 100% to the mission at hand, but we are concerned about our families and our own state. So hospitality is a very, very vital piece of this structure and foundation of the early church. We were in reading the presentation of hospitality. It says that hospitality was a core, and it was offering the welcome of Jesus to any and all. Offering the welcome to Jesus to any and all. Hospitality, giving of ourselves to all people, anybody, so that Christ is able to come into their life. And so when we see in hospitality, the early church, they gathered together. That principle of hospitality was unquestioned and actually not demanded, but absolutely essential. They broke bread together from house to house. They were glad. They were happy. They were celebrating. As we started our session today, we celebrate with sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. It makes a difference when we come together with sincere hearts, praising God in small groups, so that we can enjoy the testimony and the fellowship of one another, as we can see the change in each other's lives because of the work of the gospel, the power of the gospel. The book also says that hospitality is one way we become God's welcoming arms in a big and often hostile world. In the world that we live today, though the persecution may not be based on our religion in America, but there is still hostility, and it's a hostile world, and it's a not safe place. So there are even churches that have been attacked while they were in service. And so this is only a cycle. It is nothing new. It has always been a part of the journey for many who were given the gospel, who were rejoicing and fellowshipping in God. And the response was not one of anger or one of hate or one of isolation, but rather it drew them more together. It fueled them even the more because they were aware of the very power that, because of Christ, they were not being consumed themselves. And so they were motivated to remember these things and to be grateful and to celebrate. And in their celebratory state, they gave of themselves to one another. So hospitality is something that, even though it seems like it's not as a religious activity, and yet it is so vital for the spread and the gospel to be seen and experienced by men. They may not be the preacher of the day or the speaker of the day, but they're the ones with the arms of God embracing the people. People coming into, and I know we often think of, you know, people coming into our service and someone welcomes them, and then you have your doorkeepers that smile and point them to their seats and that sort of thing. And that is part of it, but it goes so much beyond that. We want to look at the desire of hospitality, the definition of hospitality, and some of the practices, what it includes, as presented in our study and in our book. And then we want to reflect on a couple of the questions. It says, have you been wounded because you were not welcome or received? And how has the welcome of Jesus touched your life? I think that is one of the drawing elements, one of the drawing points in our walk with Christ, is he does draw us. He makes us feel well. He doesn't judge us. He doesn't condemn us. He said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, brought to a safe place, brought to a reconciled place. And the way we show that reconciliation is one of the ways is through hospitality. So we could start with the hospitality. The desire of hospitality is to be a safe person who offers others the grace, shelter, and presence of Christ. The grace, the shelter, the presence of Christ. The definition of hospitality: hospitality creates a safe, open space where a friend or stranger can enter and experience the welcoming spirit of Christ in another. And so when we just look at those two, the definition and the desire, even if, you know, the ush at the door welcomes you in and the welcomer welcomes you, welcome you to our service today, da 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 da. But if the person sitting next to you or if the seat is not available and you have to move on, all of those are, they take away from that experience of grace. It takes away from that person experiencing the presence of Jesus. It doesn't feel like a safe place anymore. How many times, and I don't know how many of you have little ones or have had little ones, and you don't feel like it is a welcoming place for little ones. It's frowned upon. Ooh, they made noise. Ooh, the baby is crying. And though that can be distractive, it's a part of our life. And even that needs to be embraced in such a way. I thank God for Labors. They have Kingdom Church, and so that's a place where the kids can go, and it's a safe place. That becomes our act of hospitality as well as ministry in our service. And so there's so many ways that hospitality and so many forms that hospitality takes that sometimes we don't realize it. And so as a result, we don't really, I wouldn't say showcase it, but, you know, we don't, I'm trying to think of the word, you know, we don't celebrate it. We don't bring it to the forefront, because that is the place where no matter what the preacher is saying or this, how the songs are sung, if a person doesn't feel in a safe place where they're experiencing the grace and the presence of Christ, then it's just, it's, as it says with love, it's just noise. It isn't anything that transforms us. We want to look at some of the scriptures as it relates to hospitality. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. And that's from Romans 15 and 7. And then it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's also Mark 12, 30 and 31. And then from the Message Bible, Hebrews 13, 1 through 2, it reads, stay on good terms with each other, held together by love. Be ready with a meal or a bed when it's needed. Why some have extended hospitality to angels without ever knowing it. And then from John 14, 1 through 3, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. For in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. So just as it shared with us that the form of hospitality, even Christ is opening his heart and his home to us. And he assures us by that through that particular scripture. So, callers, you are live on the air. You can chime in, and your input, your dialogue, your interaction is definitely desired this morning. Good morning to all.
Yes, Minister Paulette, as I was reading through Acts 20 through 28, Paul went through a lot of brutality and in speaking to the different ones about what he was accused of, he used the word, he was expounding the word to them. And it was interesting that, you know, some believed and some didn't. They didn't want to receive what he was saying and how they were so angered by what he was saying. And they only wanted him dead. And it, I found that to be really interesting of how even the ones in authority, how they plotted against him to turn him over to be killed. But God had another plan and gave him, I say it was favor with the I didn't write the name of the last person that he was with, but to have to keep him, hold him there, and not do the evil. How the young man went to the one in authority and told him the plot that they had to kill Paul, and even today, and looking at. That even today, sometimes when you're giving people the truth of the word, they get so angry, they want to fight. You know, they get very argumentative, and it's just interesting how you still see that today.
And I think as you were sharing. Just the fact that there was somebody that was willing to extend hospitality to Paul by going to him and warning him of the plan. And those are the things, those are some of the things, providing the grace. He was given grace and shelter of the presence of Jesus. So God uses us to extend to those that are under persecution a place of safety. To prepare, and in doing these things, it transforms the people. Throughout the book of Acts, we see how when one person extended hospitality to one of the apostles, that their families ended up being saved, being brought into the body of Christ. And so this is a part of the, if you will, reward of hospitality. It brings that love and grace as it extends out to others, and God brings it back into your own home, and he brings a healing there as well. I think that when the anger that the religious leaders had, they would always take them, try to get the law of the land, if you will, the Romans, to enact a punishment for them. And the Romans would always say, well, you know, we don't really see nothing wrong with what they did. And so they're complaining about a thing that the religious people are complaining about a thing that the secular world didn't see anything wrong with. And so I think that as we view, excuse me, the Acts of the Apostles, we will see all of the elements, even the past elements that we had spoken of on previous weeks, how they come to pass and how they are a part of the foundation of the growth of the church, and we need to incorporate them, you know, more actively in our journey today, in our churches today. I was reminded when Paul was in one of the places. There was someone that gave him, he was in a house arrest, I believe, but he was given that house arrest, but and yet it turned out to be like his teaching seminar, you know, because he had been there for so long, 2 or 3 years, and people were steady coming there, getting a word from God, getting power, getting knowledge and being imparted into from him because of that. And so often they stayed in places 6 months to a year. Wasn't that they had a summer home there, but someone was extending hospitality to them in order to provide for them a platform to share the word of God. And so I think that in practical terms, as I was reading, I was viewing a lot of the experiences that we as a body and me as a family of believers had when we first came here to Chicago. And it truly was the hospitality of someone that we did not know that became the foundation for us to have a place to live, to stay. And we were coming here for ministry. This is what God said to do. And there was no provision that we could view to do it. But as we went forth, God made provision for us through the hospitality of other people, people that did not even know us, and some that weren't saved. But God used them, and because of that association, God blessed them. So and hospitality becomes a very powerful discipline that is seen throughout the book of Acts. And I think that as we view it and as we look at it more closer, we can see where it is missing today. I was reminded when we first came here, and after the Lord had blessed so, he then told me to do something that I never heard before, but to establish a ministry house. And I thought, well, what in the world is that? And but what he said was it was a place to provide a Christian environment, a safe place for individuals that were called into ministry so that they could prepare for their ministry in an environment that relinquished them from the cares and the concerns of just normal living, and they could give themselves totally over to the Lord. And it was such a powerful, wonderful, wonderful season in our lives to do that, and how it provided a place that people came from out of town if there were conferences, if there were seminars, or if there were classes that took a week or took 6 weeks or 13 weeks, whatever it was. And so to be able to do that, you get back to that all things common and that Aquila Priscilla kind of relationship of a home and a unit being accessible by God, accessible to the people so that God could bless the people. And so there are so many things that we need to review and to look back on so that we can become encouraged. That was very encouraging for me. There's some things you really forget that you've done or it's been a part of you. And yet it is so what God is doing in a season. And as he was building a ministry and building a leadership camp, if you will, he needed, as in the book of Acts, the element of hospitality to be at the forefront so that when they went, they had to know, go and then go to so-and-so house or go to this one's house. And then that brings us with even the ministry of small groups and the value that small groups played in the early church. We have questions, comments, insight.
Yes. We were speaking on hospitality, and I thought about even when coming to Labors for Christ, how my son and I was welcomed with open arms, and it was a church like never before that we had been into that showed love,
regardless of situations or circumstances. You all would give meals that were, you know, we didn't even know, you know, that was very helpful. Even when we might, myself would be wrong, you all would show love and explaining and understanding and even bringing out more about the Bible that we did not know from the denomination we was in, and have, you know, it was just a you greeted us with open arms, and I can remember my son saying, you know, hey, Mom, you can go somewhere else, but I'm staying right here, and that was because of the love that he felt, and he felt a safe haven, you know, and
right.
Oh, go ahead.
No.
I said he felt the safe haven. Oh, okay, yes, he felt the safe haven, and I myself realized it was what we both needed. And then opening our home, because I remember when he was, my son was probably about 5 or 6, he used to say, Mama, when I grow up, I want to have a home for all the kids who don't have a home or who don't have food to eat. And later on, we was able to, you know, have a hospitality, you know, for a season in our home, and it was just a blessing. In fact, it became where you thought you was helping others, but they became a help to you, and
right.
We would have worship, we would have praise, we would share the word of God openly. We would fix meals together. We would, you know, just sit around and talk about the goodness of God. So hospitality, just like in Acts, it was lived out, and I just enjoyed it. So that's what I wanted to.
Amen. Yeah, and also with the hospitality, just as Minister Pat was sharing, it brings that fellowship that we need in touching and agreeing with one another on a regular basis, on a even daily, moment by moment, because in the book of Acts, I mean, they every day they went to one another's homes and broke bread together. And that was part also of the small group, that small group that with like desires and a unity of heart were strengthened by the presence of one another. Also, when we are in a state, if you will, of providing hospitality, what we're doing is like a hospital. We're helping a healing in an area that is in need, because it is providing a safe place, a place where you can become whole, a place where you are at liberty, if you will, to become vulnerable so that a healing can take place, so that rest can really happen. Some people aren't ever in an environment where they feel safe to rest. And even in just their spirit rest, not necessarily physically, but just spiritually be at ease or spiritually be relieved and revived. And so the small group, that hospitality in a small group, I believe is a part of something that's innate within us. It's something that we need because we are relational people. God made us that way, to fellowship with one another, just as he fellowshiped with God, Adam and Eve in the garden. As a group, he connected himself with us, and we're to connect ourselves with one another. So often in larger churches, people tend to get lost because there's not necessarily that feeling of connectedness. And so as a result, they have different clubs and auxiliaries and things, and so they break up into small groups because that's very, very important, and that's even a part of hospitality, because those small groups like the Nurses Guild or the Mother's Board or the different, I'm not sure about a lot of different auxiliaries, but as they break up, they break up with a oneness. Maybe it's the youth group or the men's group. And so it becomes something that they have spiritually in common in their walk that they need to share with others that have that same walk. And so it strengthens us. It makes us accountable. It gives us a hope, because so often in that small group, you hear more sharing that is intimate, that's personal, because in larger settings, you don't necessarily hear the knockdown details of overcoming. You know, you kind of hear it was this, now it's that. But in a small group, you can see the process, and that process brings hope, because you can see the details and understand, oh, I'm not alone. Oh, this is the way it's supposed to look. And that's why one of the things the enemy does is to divide, to conquer. And you can divide a people by just putting them in the midst of a huge setting. They're divided from intimately interacting with one another, and that's very, very important. And so I was reading and studying this, I was realizing that that's probably the concept behind reality shows. They are so popular now. I mean, they reality every conceivable type of issue in life because of people's need to connect to one another. And so people become absorbed in other people's lives because we were created to be relational. Now, unfortunately, it's not a healthy relation because it's not real. It's someone else, and yet they call it reality, these reality shows, and it draws people by the millions. And so often people are so involved in them that their emotions are affected. They can be happy because the right thing is happening, or they'll be sad, or they'll be excited or be confused based on what's going on in the reality show. And whether they're reality shows on the good side or bad side or the weird side. And then Facebook. I think Facebook is part of that need that we have to connect to people intimately. You know, and so the amount of details that people give, like, wow, I've never been on Facebook. But just by hearing what other people are saying or even what they say on the news. And then, you know, when we look at these things, that's because there is a deficiency in a very important discipline that is not being exercised as the Lord would have it to be. And one of that discipline of small groups, that spiritual discipline of hospitality, they're not experiencing that. And so they settle for, it's not even a substitute. It's like fruit that's not real. So wax fruit, but it looks like fruit. And so they figure as long as I have them, then I have fruit. And they starve to death because they're not really involved in that give and take that comes with hospitality and the discipline of hospitality and the discipline of small groups gathering together. And it was interesting that even Minister Pat had mentioned with hospitality, then it was also small groups of meals. That's when I say small groups exist for Bible study or prayer, social action, support for games, for meals or hobbies or tasks or projects. So those are all things that are possible in small groups. I think that the caller on the line, one of them, has a hobby, you know, and so they get together in that small group to talk about and to share that hobby. And that does something to the individuals. You grow through that. You get the insight of those that are more expert at it. You get to hear the details of, you know what, don't do it this way because I tried it that way and it didn't taste right, so add this to it. So you can get the benefit of even errors made so that you don't have to make them. And so the concept of small groups is one that we are going to have, even if we don't have it correctly, because we are individuals that have to have it. And so we will distort it, pervert it, and it may even be why sometimes we settle for relationships that are inappropriate because we have to have that connection to a small group, and how difficult it is when it's not the family doesn't really mesh as it should or could or would. And so people seek gangs. Those are their small groups, that their place where they're accepted, place where hospitality, they feel safe. We don't, but they do. They feel like a need is being met, and so they're willing to do whatever it takes to remain a part of that small group and that, if you will, element of being accepted. And if we have that kind of a commitment to the Lord and the Lord's people, we could make a neighborhood, turn a neighborhood upside down, I'll put it that way, not in fear, but in hope and in power. And so these are just things, and these are things we can do individually. You don't have to have a degree or $1 million. Just, you know, even sitting outside with a ball with kids, and, you know, they are drawn to the fact that someone is being hospitable, is welcoming them to a safe place. And obviously that has to be done with care and wisdom. But I think that as we look at the small group, we have anybody have it open, small group, for the desire and the definition?
Yes, amen. What page is it on?
Yeah. It's on page 140.
I'm having a minute.
Okay.
You want the definition?
Yes, and the desire.
You say you want the definition? Small group.
Yes.
Desire. To make my spiritual journey with a community of trusted friends. The definition: small groups intentionally connect people, regularly gathering them together to help one another grow in loving God and doing His will.
Amen, amen. You have the scripture, Minister Pat? Anybody have the scripture?
What was the scripture?
The scripture is how good and pleasant it is when brothers, and it has in parentheses, and sisters live together in unity. That's Psalms 133 and 1. And then it says, though they may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three stand is not quickly broken. Ecclesiastes 1:4 and 12. And then it says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. From Hebrews 10 and 25. Amen. And that's the scripture relating to the small groups. So any input? Comments.
I see that in the small groups, like when we meet for CCTI and how that brings us together, and we're able, you know, when we're sharing, and sometimes when people, the truth has touched area in our lives, how the love of the group, you know, encourages them and rally around them and pray for them and that small group environment brings out a lot amongst the brethren.
Mm-hmm.
That's my observation in that area. Small groups are very can't think of the word, influential sometimes, and very comforting to people because of the different places in people's lives, and they find in small groups that they're able to share, and they're not necessarily looked down on or put out, or they find commonality amongst you know, within the small groups, and they're able to share more comfortably.
And I thought about when Evangelist Roberta was speaking about that, how we had the small group at the church where different tables were set, and even Evangelist Roberta did love covers, I think. And that she set it up, and she had a card, and she explained that month what it was going to look like. And as a small group, people didn't always go to the same table. We sometimes went to another table, and you got to interact and learn each other and fellowship and show love and have a little snack. But it was a worship as well as fellowship.
Yes.
And it brought, I think, the members of the church on one accord, just as in Acts. We got to know each other a little more better. We got to interact with each other. We got to share in a safe way, and we start laughing, and I really enjoy it, and I think that was hospitality.
Absolutely, and absolutely. That's a wonderful observation. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. That is a perfect observation, and as you were speaking, it's like there was so many things that was exhilarating about that season in the church, even those that would come together beforehand to set up, you know, but everybody was giving of what they had to give. And so God was using it and blessing us. And it became, as the book has said, small groups are a simple means of connecting people and offering them a place for self-disclosure and meaningful interaction. And so you even find out the talents of one another. There's no those that labor among you. And that made the environment more conducive to knowing one another as opposed to sitting in pews, not separated, but separated, but rather sitting in the group. That's a wonderful, wonderful observation. Absolutely. And personally, I think our Fridays are our small group gathering where we do self-disclosure. It is meaningful interaction. It spurs me spiritually to study. It gives me direction in the spirit to where to go to next. What is the next thing that should be a part of, you know, our coming together and how that is impacting the church. And then seeing God and Holy Spirit knit it all together. And you see the beauty of it, and I get excited about it. I know that sometimes they tease me, you know, because when I open it up, I say, you know, good morning, good morning, good morning, but that's to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But I am excited. I am excited, and it is a good morning because with each morning he does send word of his unfailing love to us. And as we get into his word, he shows up, and he gives us revelation. He brings us to remembrance, different things that we've forgotten. And it's those things that strengthen us and causes us to be renewed and even excited about the next thing or given direction for a new thing or insight of an old thing or revelation about a thing to come. And so it becomes our small group interaction of our reality show. And it's not necessarily religious, but it is our reality, and it's our world. And our world is just in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so It's not so much rigid, you know, formality and that sort of thing, but it's dialogue, it's interacting, it's connecting. It's what we are using instead of something else. You know, we've chosen to do this, and we are on one accord in doing it. So I think that's really great. I really enjoy the opportunity to share and to be a part of the dialogue and back and forth. I would have never thought this is how it would end up, but God had a plan, and I think it's marvelous in my sight. It is great, and it is such a benefit and such a connector, because in today's society, it may not always be easy to connect physically with one another, but this airway thing is an opportunity for us. It's just like we're sitting down together. The only thing that's missing is y'all can't smell my coffee. Okay. All right. So any more questions or comments, insights?
Hello, Colette. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am blessed. I'm just overflowing with
You're breaking up. What are you? Okay, you're kind of breaking.
Oh, gosh, I hate that. I'm traveling. I'm headed toward Minnesota right now. I'm in South Dakota. Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay, I had to stop and rest there. Now, I was just saying that God is so, he's awesome.
Amen. And who's this?
This is Aaron. Lord have mercy. I'm so excited. I forgot my own name. This is Aaron.
It's who?
Aaron. A-A-R-N.
Oh, Aaron.
Yes.
Well, praise the Lord. So how are you in your trap?
I'm good, but I have a shit in the table, child. Because this is mind-blowing.
Oh,
you know when the Bible
God.
Says in Psalms 30:11, when you take your wailing into joyful dancing?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, yesterday, what's today, Friday, Thursday? I've lost track. Last week, I was released from, no, actually it was Monday, released from my trucking school company that I was trying to get my CDL Class A license in Montana, and 3 weeks prior, I'd been on the road with the trainer and stuff. Things happened that, you know, it was not called to happen. Got back to the school. They sent my report in about the conviction I have this guy. Talked with the fleet manager about it. We and him went on a road trip together. And he was saying, I'm discombobulated. I'm hesitant and shifting gears. All this nonsense. I said, yeah, I'm still nervous about what happened last week with the old guy. I was told so many different lies from 4 different people. So at the end result, the manager said, I'm dismissed. Okay, that's fine. Feel me inside, but I know God had a plan for me. He knows I tried to do what's right, tried to treat people right, but the enemy always steps in to make me or to make us as Christians, children of the Most High, upset. Now, that night, I did the tear shift because I was like, God, what's going on? I'm not mad at God for saying this. God said, don't worry about it. That's all he said, don't worry about it. So today, I made a phone call to my fleet manager and asked him about the advances that the company gives students for being on the road, which is another a week. I had three checks for $3 total. And we thought to pay that once we get our actual full check each week. And I asked him, and him being Peter Bush and stuff, he just said, well, the money we spent on you, the tuition, the hotel rooms, and feeding you and training you, the money is satisfactory. Okay, yes or no, man? Just answer the question. So at the end result, God said, I paid the bill. You don't owe them nothing.
Amen. Okay.
Glory to God. One bill I don't worry about because I was done wrong by company. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that, and that's a testimony. God will definitely. He is definitely our champion, and we appreciate that sharing of good news with the journey that you're taking. And that's encouraging, you know, that we will always celebrate. We will always look to God and not be a downcast. That's what we started the program with today, and from celebration. And how the prophet Jeremiah shared in celebration that I'm not going to be downcast. You know, I'm not going to, you know, be what does he say? He says, my soul is downcast within me, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. And that's a wonderful testimony to the newness of the benefits of the cross for the children of God. We thank you so much. We're at the end of our hour. We thank all those that have shared with us. We praise God for you. We pray that your day is a day of celebration, not just today, but every day. Remember those that are mourning. Remember those that are experiencing challenges. Be prayerful. Intercede for them and praise God for them and for their coming out. Sometimes we have to praise God for other people because they're not in that place, but we can. We can intercede in many ways. And so we thank God for you. We pray that we will see and we will talk with you again on next week, which I believe will have us, the 24th, and we will be in still, we'll just review the book of Acts and all that has come forth from the book of Acts, and we will look at the discipline of the covenant group and the community. The covenant group and the community as we end our session in the book of Acts with the spiritual discipline. Right. Praise God. Praise God. And to that I say good day and remember the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.